Hello, everybody. My name is Michelle Robin, and welcome to Job Search Wars. I'd like to say that today is August 28th, and this is Job Search Wars. Conquer your fears, charge your with your resume, and capture the job. So again, my name is Michelle Robin of Brand Your Career, and I want to welcome you along with my colleagues, Barry Klein and Megan Walls of Jumpstart Job Search. We are very excited you all are here today, and we're ready to answer your burning job search questions. Our goal really is to take some of the mystery out of the modern-day job search and arm you with knowledge so that you can start landing more interviews faster and eventually your ideal job. So we have not a huge group, so what I'd like to do real quick is kind of just state your name, where you're calling from, what you're looking for job-wise, and just tell us that, and we'll go around the phone real quick, and then we'll dive into questions. So who wants to give a shout-out first?
And this is Megan. And also tell us how long you've been in your job search.
Okay, I'll start. Hi, my name is Michelle Lee. And my position ended on August 14th, but I've been in my job search for about 2 to 3 months, and I'm targeting an HR director or manager position for companies under 500 in the north and northwest suburbs.
Great.
Anyone else?
Okay, I'll go next.
Go ahead.
Okay. Whoever started, okay, then I will be.
Anybody there? Or did I miss something?
I'll go next. My name is Pete Mokvik. I am looking for a digital leadership roles in kind of corporate B2B or B2C environments, primarily in the north or northwest suburbs as well of Chicago. I started my job search literally this week.
Welcome.
Thank
Great.
You.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Larry Heavey from Southside Chicago. Started my job search in mid-April, looking to stay within banking. That's what I know best. I'd like to be in the bank in a calling capacity, whether it's treasury management, sales, or business development. That's what I hope to land in the very near future.
Great. Welcome,
Larry. My name is Ann Pazan. I started my job search today. I'm looking for mid-management in I'm not sure in what, because I've been sort of tousled around industries recently, and I'm not really quite sure which industry to target.
All right, welcome. We're happy to help you kick off your job search. Anyone else on the phone that hasn't piped in to say who they are and what they're looking for and how long they've been searching?
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead. I'm Anne, and I have been in the job search since probably mid-May. I'm an environmental professional, and I've been in consulting, but I'd like to transfer into the renewable or clean energy sector or the sustainability sector, probably as a project manager or regulatory type of a person. But I'm having a hard time getting into that arena. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Mia Konopasik. I'm calling from Chicago. My target job title is a senior financial planning and analysis role. The target job location would be somewhere in Chicago downtown Loop area, and I've been in the job search for about a couple months now.
Welcome, Mia.
Hi, my name is Lana, and I am calling from Chicago greater area, and I am long-term unemployed from last year, August last year. Actually, my target job title is quality assurance analyst, software tester.
All right, Thank you. Welcome, Lana. Anyone else that hasn't jumped in?
Hi, I'm Allison Scherer. I started my job search a few months ago, and my position ended about a week ago. I'm in the Chicago Northwest suburbs, and I'm looking for a communications leadership position.
Great, great. Welcome.
Great.
Anyone else? All right, I think we got everybody. So, again, my name is Michelle Robin, and really what this call is all about is your opportunity to ask a seasoned recruiter, Sari Klein, a career coach, Megan Walls, or a nationally certified resume writer with me, anything about your job search. So let me just do a quick housekeeping thing. This is really a Q&A format designed for all of you, so please be open and engaged. And it would be really helpful to state your first name when you're asking a question. And I'll start with a brief introduction of the panel and then move into your questions. And I want to give everyone an opportunity to ask at least one question, so I would ask that you don't try to talk one at a time. I know sometimes it's difficult on the phone, and don't interrupt. And I want to thank those that have submitted questions ahead of time, and we'll get to those too. So one other quick housekeeping note, star 6 will mute your phone. Star 6 will also unmute your phone. So, and if it gets too noisy, I'll try to mute the caller if we're hearing background noise or anything like that. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback, but it's kind of hard for me to tell right now. So if you're not talking, please mute your phone with star 6. And again, star 6 will unmute your phone. So now I'd like to introduce our panel. First is Megan Walls of Jumpstart the Job Search, a certified career coach. Megan, can you please tell the callers a little bit more about you?
Sure. I went through a job transition, a career transition about 10 years ago, without a plan and without support, and found it very, very difficult. And so, which led me to becoming a career transition coach, helping people really find out who they are, what they want, and then chart a course of action to get going. So really happy to be here and answer any of your questions. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Megan. And Sari is a seasoned recruiter of Jumpstart Jobs. So Sari, can you tell a little bit more about yourself and keep me from getting tongue-tied?
Yeah, I think the word seasoned means I've been at it a long time. And I have 30 years of recruiting under my belt. I own my own firm. And I think I have a really interesting vantage point as a recruiter, being able to help job seekers, because I've worked with employers for all these years, and I have the vantage point of knowing what turns them on, what turns them off, what are their hot buttons, and I am happy to relay any and all information that I can to you. So happy to be here today.
Great. Thank you. And lastly, I'm Michelle Robin, career brand strategist and founder of Brand Your Career. I empower sales and marketing executives to sell themselves without thinking about it so they can land their ideal job faster. So I would like to just dive right in and get started. Does anyone want to speak up and have the first question?
Hi, I would like to ask, my question is how I can explain to the hiring manager or any recruiter who is calling me my long-term unemployment, my gap in the employment, which is 1 year right now. What is your advice, if they ask, of course?
Sari, do you want to take this, and then I'll chime in with anything?
Sure. Well, I would want to know a couple things about your being out of work. Have you been doing anything else, or have you just been searching for a job? So if you could tell me that would be helpful.
Honestly, I was just looking for a job, but somehow it didn't work for me because I was looking for a job in my area. I didn't want to commute a lot, and so I got stuck, let's say this way. So this is the truth. I was just looking for a job, but it wasn't successful, let's say this way.
Okay. So, obviously, you need to have a good spin on why you have been out of work that long. And it has to sound positive. I think the best advice I could tell you is don't sound desperate. Don't sound, you know, panicked. Just say that you have been looking at the right opportunity and, you know, continuing to seek what is going to be a good opportunity for you and the employer. And just be confident. Just be confident that the skills that you bring are going to help solve an employer's problem. And that's really, it's not an easy deal because everybody wants to know why have you been out so long. But you do need to have some very concrete answers and concise answers. And obviously, I can't talk to you, maybe talk offline, but you need to be able to have that flow out of your mouth why you have been out of work.
Okay, so I should sound positive, confident, and I should be prepared for the short, confident answer,
yes.
Right?
Right. You shouldn't be flailing like, well, you know, I couldn't find my job, and I didn't know what to do, and it's got to be. I spent some time researching companies and targeting companies and expanding my network. And now that I am ready and know exactly where I will bring the most value, I am out there seeking the right opportunity. So positive, positive, positive.
Okay. Without any details, which I got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Sherry. And one other thing that I'll chime in. I mean, if there's been anything at all, Lana, that you've done, you know, in volunteer-wise or anything like that, that's something that you can put on your resume and try to fill that gap. You know, employers want to make sure that you're keeping up with your skills, so even if it's taking some classes or anything like that are all good things to focus on. So, well, yes, I've been looking for a job primarily, but I've also been doing, you know, some volunteer work, or I've been taking classes, or I've been doing XYZ.
Regarding volunteering, I was thinking about it, but I am just curious. Ideally, it should be volunteering in my field, for example, quality assurance, IT. That's what, because I understand that volunteering, it should be also like gaining some new skills, experience, or I'm thinking wrong, or any kind of volunteering.
I think any kind of volunteering is helpful. I mean, all volunteering helps with relationship building. You know, just communicating with other people, working in groups, teamwork, it, you know, any kind of volunteering helps those skills that are transferable to any job. If there's some association that's related to what you do, if you volunteer there, you might be able to get more, you know, industry-related volunteer experience, too. So those are two different options.
This is Megan. I think the key is, you know, the volunteering is you're trying things out if you're changing a path, and also, as Michelle is intimating, it's this professional development. As long as you can show you're, you know, developing professionally while you've been out, and you can show that on your, you know, and speak about that, I think that speaks a lot.
Okay, I got the point. So there is something I need definitely to think about and implement it. Okay, thank you.
Great.
You're welcome. Who has the next question?
Hi, this is Michelle Lee. I have a question about interviews. A lot of times I go in on interviews and I think they go well, and then you just never hear back from the company. And I know for legal reasons they don't want to give you feedback. So what do you suggest me doing in order to move forward?
Sherry, I'll let you take this one too.
Hey, Michelle, well, before the series starts, I'm hearing some you know, noise. So I don't know if you want to start, if you want to mute people, because I'm hearing some muffled noise.
Yeah, it tends to come when Sari's speaking, unfortunately. So I haven't muted the line.
Okay.
So I've been trying to find that, but I could go ahead and try to mute everyone else in case that'll help.
Okay. Let me know after I speak this time if you're still getting noise.
Okay.
So. I totally lost my train of thought there.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Sherry. Yeah, okay. Now I can.
Okay. The one thing I would suggest, Michelle, when you leave the interview to begin with, I mean, the first step, is to ask what is the next step, and to be very, again, positive. I've really enjoyed this interview. I feel this would be a good opportunity for both of us. And you can say something like, when may I hear from you? What is the next step? So that you walk out of there with some idea of what to expect. Often candidates just walk out and they say, I have no idea how the interview went. I don't know if I'll ever hear from these people again. So at least if you could get them to say, you won't hear from us for 2 weeks. We have more interviews. Or you might be able to hear from us next week. So that would be my first suggestion, is to get some sort of feedback from them when you leave the interview. I think the second part of your question was that you go to an interview, you think it goes well, and you literally never hear from these folks again. And they do owe you, some sort of information. So if a reasonable amount of time has gone by, a few days or a week, I would email and just say, want to follow up. Well, of course, this is assuming that you've already written the thank you note. So that goes without saying that you write that the day you leave the interview. But I would then follow up with, I'm just following up, want to assure you how interested I am, wondering what the next step is. So you do have to be a little assertive there. And that would be my quick answer to you.
All right, and Michelle, I muted everybody, so hit star 6 to unmute, and then you can respond. And that goes for anyone else when we're ready to get to the next question. Star 6 will unmute your phone.
Okay. No, thank you for the advice on that. I've been starting to do that a little bit, so I'll continue to do that more.
All right. Thank you, Sari, and thank you, Michelle, for asking. Does anyone else have the next question? And remember, star 6 will unmute your phone. And Megan, I believe I did unmute you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, this is Allison. And I've gotten to the final three candidates on several interviews, and it just hasn't fallen my way. And I've asked for feedback, and they've said it's nothing that I've done. It just came down to a different candidate. So I'm not sure what to do with that information. And they said it wasn't, one situation they said it was because the other person didn't have as much experience, and they thought that my compensation level could have been an issue, that they didn't think they could keep me engaged because they couldn't keep increasing my salary, even though I said that, money isn't everything. I'm rambling. What advice do you have on that?
Sari, do you want to start with
sure.
that?
Sure. I'll start this. But I'm not going to start it with the salary piece of it. I'm going to start with, and Michelle, you had asked this too, you asked the recruiters, did you do anything wrong? Can you give you any feedback? Let me just say that as a recruiter, I'm really reluctant to give much feedback. If somebody's done something glaring, yes, I'll do it. But honestly, I just don't know what to say when there's a whole litany of things that an employer has told me. And I scuttle the issue. I do. And I think a lot of recruiters do that. We don't honestly have time to go through how to improve your interviewing skills. So it could be a matter of there's something wrong in the interview. You might not be, talking about yourself in a positive way. You might not be showing the employer the value you bring to the job. So there could be a lot of different things that are going wrong. Or you could just have gotten beaten out by a candidate, that was, they liked better than you. With regard to the salary issue, I'm not sure how that came about. If you were hard and fast, if you gave a range, it's always a tricky thing when an employer says, what salary do you want? And I always suggest that you, you know, you give a range and say, I'm looking for fair compensation for this position and would be happy to look at the whole package. And I am sure that what you're offering will be appropriate. So I would stay away from hard and fast numbers. Is that helpful to you?
Well, yes, that's helpful, but they usually ask the direct question, what is your salary right now? And so do you not answer that question and just say what you said, I'm looking for fair compensation and I'm willing to look at the whole package? And I mean, there's also on job applications, I saw this was a question when you're as a pre-question, but they ask and it's demanded, you know, it's a, you know, a red star, a red asterisk. You have to put this in, amount in. What do you suggest that you put there? I mean, they say, you know, what is your current compensation?
You have to be honest with it. Some applications will actually get thrown out if you don't put anything there. So, and I think Michelle can probably speak to that a little bit more. But with regard to if they're sitting in front of you and saying, what is your salary now? You need to say, my salary is whatever it is, $100,000, but I am looking at the entire package. And, you know, just don't leave it as my salary is X. You know, my salary is X, but I have some flexibility. This is the industry I'm going to go into. I have some flexibility because I'm coming from profit to for profit. So have an explanation as to why you might be willing to be flexible with your salary. Never just answer it as, I'm making $150,000.
Right, and I did that. So, you know, I said, you know, this opportunity is something I can really sink my teeth into, and it would give me personal satisfaction, and that is more important to me, and I really want to be open and continue the conversation. I mean, I said things like that.
You know, it sounds like you did it the right way, and, you know, it's hard for me to know why they then thought your salary was too much unless they hadn't really expected that kind of a salary, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to answer that any further, frankly.
And I'll tack on to that. There's a great book called Negotiating Your Salary, How to Make $1,000 a Minute by Jack Chapman. And he has a great answer for when you're asked, at least when you're asked it in the interview, how to respond when asked about your present salary. Just to answer, I'm paid very fairly for my responsibilities in my present job, and I expect a fair salary with respect to my responsibilities here. So try to avoid at all costs saying a number, saying a range. You know, you want to focus on that you want to be the right match for the job, and that's the most important thing. And this book, it gives lots of tips about how to do that and really never to reveal a number until the offer is being made. And then it's a question of who goes first, too. But the book, again, is Negotiating Your Salary, How to Make $1,000 a Minute by Jack Chapman, and it has great tips and like that in it.
Can you say the last name of the author? Is it Chapman?
Yes, Chapman, C-H-A-P as in Paul. M is in Michelle, A, N is in no.
Okay.
This is Megan. I just wanted to point out that sometimes in an interview, they actually want you to state a salary or what you're looking for. And if you should always go in with, I would think, a range, and your lowest number, the lowest salary you're willing to take, you know, I think you should have, it shouldn't be the bare minimum, because you don't want to show them, you know, your cards. You don't want to say that, yep, I want to make 100, but, you know, my range is 90 to 100. You know, if you need to think about what is your lowest minimum that you will go, and then maybe bump it up 5,000 or 10,000 for some wiggle room. Because, you know, they may jump on your low number, and you might not be happy with that. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
And then what do you do on those Taleo.net applications where it gives you a, you have to put something in there?
Put it in there. you don't have a choice. Michelle, am I correct on that? You can just get thrown out of the app.
Well, yes, correct? You can get thrown out, but, you know, it's such a, I don't know, a crapshoot, to be totally honest. You can try putting in zero, but you may get thrown out, like Sari said. You can try putting in your top salary, but they may rule you out because they use the salary as a screening tool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to tell my clients to avoid applying online unless you have another in, you know, because really you only have a 2-3% chance of getting a call when you apply online anyways. So why not try another avenue to get in the door? And, like, yes, you may have to go follow protocol and fill out their online application in order to start the interview process formally. But if you're coming in from a referral from a current employee, you have such a better chance of earning an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So then it won't matter as much when you're answering that question online.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Maybe you could you spend a little bit of time talking about networking and what your approach, like you talked about marketing plan and how you would approach this is getting the list of companies and trying to find the people that you know at those companies and going in that way, even if they don't have any positions posted.
Yeah, I'll start off, and then Megan and Sarah, you can chime in because I know we all have opinions on this. What I recommend to my clients is, you know, start with the target company. I kind of call it reverse engineering your job search. Start with the target company that you want to work for, and research and see who you have, you know, that you're maybe connected with someone there. And try to get an introduction for an informational interview. Say you just want to find out more about the company and if they have any advice, insights, or referrals. I have a coach that told me advice, insights, and referrals is like asking for air. And that you're much more likely to get a response from someone inside the company when you're asking for that versus asking for a job. If you want to, you know, find out more about the company and what it's like to work there or how they got there or, you know, their experience, you know, people are always happy to talk about themselves. So they're much more likely to get a response, you know, when you're networking. And you can use advanced search on LinkedIn in order to try to find out who your hiring manager might be. So if you're a marketing manager and you want to go look up the director of marketing at IBM, let's say you're targeting IBM, you can go into LinkedIn and have those search parameters, and you'll find titles. Like IBM, obviously, is a huge company. There's going to be more than one director of marketing. But that's at least a start to try to, you know, feel your way in there and see who you're connected to. Sarah or Megan, do you have any other tips to start networking your way into where you want to work?
This is Megan. Just to dovetail what Michelle said, also target positions, you know, find out what position you really want, you know, so you want to make sure that, and you, two things, you want to know the position you're looking for, and you also want to know who you are and the value you bring, because in order to network properly and see it work for you, you want to be able to articulate the value you bring, the competitive, you know, what makes you stand out from the competition, and the exact position you're looking for. So you're not going to set up an informational interview or you're not going to reach out to people until you're clear and confident on who you are and what you bring to the table and what you're looking for. And then you can reach out and sit down for these informational interviews. You can reach out on LinkedIn, you know, but I think the first step is knowing, you know, figuring out who you are and how to market yourself. What is it that stands out? and then identify the position or positions that interest you, and then look up the people and the companies that have that position. Sari, do you have anything to add?
I'm going to add one little quick thing, and that is I absolutely agree that you need to be very focused and concise about how you speak about yourself. And the absolute worst thing you can do when you're talking to in an informational interview or any networking contact is just say, I'm looking for a job. Just let me know about anything you hear about. Because people want to help you, but they only can help you if you give them some direction. And so don't think that, you can go out and network and talk to people without a real clear, concise idea of what you're looking for so they can be helpful to you.
Right. And remember, networking, 70% of jobs are found through networking versus sitting in front of your computer filling out applications. And also, there's a statistic I found that, people, not that you're going for an, you're not using an informational interview to ask the person for a job, right? You're going to inquire about it, but there is a statistic that says, people have had a good rate of getting jobs just through informational interviews over, just sending your resume. I forget what it was, something like, it was a good number, and I wanted to pull that up, but it really is a great tool, and networking is your way to find a job.
Well, thank you, Sari and Megan. Before we get to the next question, because I know some people may have to jump off early, I want to take a quick minute to tell you about a special offer that we have for you guys today. And you're all going to really love this. Megan, Sari, and I conduct 30-minute Accelerate Your Career consultations. And in this consultation, we will go over where you want your career to go, where you are currently, how to remove your job search roadblocks, what other professionals like you have done to make a successful career move. So normally this consultation is $199, but today we have three one-on-one 30-minute consultations to give away. And there's about 13-14 of you on the phone today, so we have a brief application process. So in order to get an application to get one of these free 30-minute consultations with one of us, just simply go to your email and send an email to info, that's I-N-F-O, at brandyourcareer.com. And again, that's info at brandyourcareer.com. And just use the subject line application. And in the body of the email, just tell me your name, and I'll be sure to send you, I'll email you back the application after the call is over. So, again, it's a 30-minute consultation with either myself, Megan, or Sari. We've got three spots open, and we would love to be talking to you guys. So, again, go ahead. You can even do it right now. Send that email to info, I-N-F-O, at brandyourcareer.com. All right. So let's get back to the Q&A. Again, star 6 unmutes your phone. Most of you are still muted. So star 6 unmutes your phone. Who has the next question?
Michelle, they might be actually typing in their names for to sign up.
Seriously.
They might. I'll be watching my inbox. So with that, I do... we did get a question emailed to us ahead of time, which was from Michael Wheatley. He says, how many times should you reapply for a position? He had been reading on Glassdoor.com about people that had to apply at least twice before they even got any traction on their application. So do either of you, maybe Sari, you might have more insight about reapplying for a position.
Oh, boy. So I'm assuming, well, I shouldn't assume. Is he saying this through applying through basically a black hole, a blind box?
I believe so.
Okay. So, Michelle, you already said that, the chances of hearing back, sending your resume, through a blind box is I think you said 2 to 3%. I'm a little bit more hopeful. I'm 4 to 5%. So nothing. you know, can you apply a couple times? Sure, why not? Maybe it'll increase your chance. I think the most important thing is if it's blind, you can't do much about it. But if you know where that company is or who's at the company, you know, switch gears and try to find somebody who's at the company and see if they can deliver your resume to a human being. You know, the black hole resume stuff just doesn't work. So, you know, can you apply a couple times? Sure. You might not even get, you know, seen the first time. I don't know. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, sometimes, although I've also heard from companies that, you know, once their resume's in the database, it's in the database. So it may or may not do any additional help to apply again. You may just get lucky when they're looking for different search terms and maybe your resume pops up that time. But I agree with you, Sari, to, you know, not only apply online, but try to get your foot in the door through a human.
Right.
Your chances increasingly.
Right, exactly.
All right. Does anyone else have another question?
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Anne. So actually, it's two questions. I'm going to throw another one in there. I don't know if you fully described, like, how to get to the hiring manager. So you see something online and, you know, I mean, you try to get into the companies another way, but if you see something online, how do you find out who that hiring manager would be? And B, you know, I got an in through somebody at a non-for-profit, which I was looking at, and I'm excited about, but the position, you know, they did give me a phone interview, and it hasn't gone since then, but it's just been a couple days. It's almost like half the salary that I was making. So, you know, I guess that's more of a philosophical question. Do I take something like that and hope to grow with the company? They obviously know that the positions that I was in before, you know, were much higher compensated as well. So kind of how do you feel about that? How do you handle that?
This is Michelle. I'll take the first part of your question of how to find the hiring manager. I would LinkedIn is your best friend in your job search. You can go in there and look. You can search for people that work at that particular company, and you can search for, you know, the person that has the likely title that position would be reporting to. It's one way to do it. The other way is you could call the company. Say, I'm interested in applying for this position, and talk to the receptionist. Can you just tell me the name of the person because I want to address, you know, them personally in my cover letter? And you can get an answer that way, too, just being direct on the phone. And I'll turn it over to Sari to kind of answer the second part of the salary question, and if she has anything else to add in about, you know, how to find the hiring manager.
Well, you said that this is a position or an organization that you are interested in, right?
It's a company I'm interested in, not the position so much. The position would be
okay.
A very entry level to learn a new business, basically, but kind of to get into that industry.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm always of the opinion that any interview is a good interview because you, A, learn a lot about yourself, you learn about the company, and who knows if you're not interviewing with somebody who says, oh, you know what, you may be overqualified for this position, but we may have another position coming up. So I'm always of the mind, don't turn it down. You know, don't say, oh, you know, that salary isn't going to be right for me. The other thing that I would caution you about, and this happens to me all the time, is somebody will say to me, I love the company, my salary, I'm really looking for more money, but if I could just get my foot in the door. Well, let me tell you, my employer is not interested in your foot in the door. So I don't mean to sound like an idiot saying that, but just be careful how you talk about why you want to get into that company. And the why should be that you bring so much skill and value to the company, and again, that you will help solve whatever problems they may be having. But turn it to how you bring help to them, not, for goodness sakes, that you want your foot in the door and how this will make your life better, because you will be escorted out the door. So that's my two cents on that piece of it.
Sarah, what about with regard to the salary and half of what Ann was making and, you know?
With regard to the salary, look, you know, you have to be, you know, we've had this sort of salary issue. You need to be honest. You know, if they're offering $30,000 and you've been making $75,000, that's not going to feel real good for you. And, you know, you need to express that. Now, obviously, you can express it as, you know, that salary is lower, obviously lower than what I'm making. But I feel that I bring so much to the table. And, you know, maybe there's a way we can compromise on the salary. Maybe there's a way that you would feel comfortable starting me at a little bit lower than I'm comfortable with, but, you know, in 3 months or 6 months, bringing me up to my target salary. So I think just engaging in the conversation is really where you want to go, and not just closing any door before it happens. And if, you know, and if they say to you, oh, my God, you're at 75, we're at 35, this just isn't going to work, and then you say very sweetly and nicely, I thank you so much for your time. This is just a wonderful organization. I hope you will keep me in mind if something else comes up, and you never know. So I hope that's helpful to you.
Okay. Thank you, Sari. Someone else have another question?
Yeah, I have a question about the online applications. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
I find that I'm fortunate in that my field affords itself a lot of networking opportunities, because all the engineers are trying to get professional development hours, and there's a lot of engineering societies that have lunch meetings and so forth. But even making that initial contact and having a conversation and they want to see my resume, they say, okay, fill in the online application. So I guess my question actually is more related to someone putting in a cold application. I just was going to point out that there's a lot of reviewing of applications being done by computers looking for keywords for a match for what they're looking for in a position. And I think that's kind of part of the point of having the online applications, which, of course, is a pain in the neck because you're rewriting your whole resume, you know, typing it often in your career history. And you're asked questions that you carefully, strategically left off of your resume. But how do you have a suggestion on finding what keywords are likely for the different kinds of positions that they would be looking for, and I guess it's not that hard to craft them, reword your sentences to use those keywords, but what is your sense about that whole electronic screening of resumes or applications?
Yep. This is Michelle, so thanks for that question. It's a common question.
Well, and I guess
all...
it's also a factor if you send your resume, if they do just want resumes, if you send it by PDF or you send it by as a Word document and so forth for searching possibilities.
Yeah, this is Michelle, and your question is common across all industries. You know, how do I find the keywords? Where do I put the keywords? Should I, you know, make it in 4-point type in white font and just to get them in? So I would advise against trying to game the system, and gaming the system would be trying to, all right, I'm going to put it in 4-point type in white and enter in my application that way. There's a great tool, a word cloud tool called Wordle, Wordle.net. And what you can do in there is you can run the job description through and make a word cloud. And a word cloud is going to surface up the words that are the largest in the word cloud are the words that are most often in that job description. So that's going to give you kind of a clue on which which words to incorporate into your resume. And you can also do the same thing for your resume. You can dump your resume into Wordle and make a word cloud of your resume and make sure those same words are surfacing as large words. That's one way to do it that kind of uses a computer to, you know, look at the text. The other thing that I recommend clients do is, because obviously it's a lot of work to tweak your resume every time. So a lot of times I'll create a resume where instead of that core competency list, which is great for keywords to have core competencies and list them, but for a human it doesn't add much. It's like, okay, so you have these skills. Instead, I like to take those skills and kind of weave them into your job descriptions. So maybe if you're an engineer, maybe you did a whole bunch of things on process improvement or something like that. So you can have process improvement as a heading under whatever job description it is and have examples of how you accomplished improving processes or something like that. So then those keywords are woven into the text and there's more proof points of those skills, which I think also helps get through the ATS system. And one final thing on ATS is applicant tracking system, for those of you that don't know. So to get through the ATS, I also provide my clients an ASCII version of their resume, which is an all-text version of their resume. And it dumbs down any kind of titles, like summary section is called summary. Professional experience, just called professional experience. Skills is, you know, skills. ATS also, they don't like, let's say you lump together your education and skills on your resume. An ATS can't parse that out. They can't tell that it's like two things in, under one heading. They're looking for those main plain titled headings. So you want summary, you want professional experience, you want education, you want skills, volunteerism, you know, or affiliations, just those typical simple title headings will also help your chances of getting through the ATS.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does, and it's given me confidence to ask my more awkward question.
Okay.
I was in a car accident last November, kind of a freak accident, and my car ended up going into the next lane and right in front of a box truck. He hit my car and sent me spinning, and I never saw the vehicle because it was behind my field of vision, and he didn't have a seatbelt on, and he didn't have his hands on the wheel at the time. He went across all the lanes and rolled over and was hurt in the truck, and I guess panic, getting out of the center of the interstate facing backwards, headed home. And I, like I say, it felt like I had hit like the front end of a semi-tractor trailer or something. It felt like I had taken all the impact. Well, you still can't leave the scene of an accident. And now I'm a convicted felon because I left the scene and because he was hurt. So I have to put that in all of my job applications. Have you ever been convicted of a crime? And it sounds like I'm a murderer, you know.
Right.
I was wondering how to handle that in applications. Sometimes, I mean, if I have a chance to talk with people, they sort of understand. And like I say, most of my opportunities are gaining through networking, so I do have an opportunity to talk. But still, if it goes to HR, with that, at least one application said under the question says this is not necessarily going to bump you from consideration. It will depend on the circumstances. So that was nice to see. And maybe they all feel that way, but it makes a person pretty nervous saying that in an application.
Yeah, Sari, I personally don't have any experience working with clients that have had that. So I don't.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, then I'll let you answer.
So, first of all, this may never come up. You may have an organization that, you know, doesn't ask you, doesn't have you fill it out, doesn't do a background check. I mean, it's possible. But for the most part, it will come up. I mean, I usually do a background check on somebody. And so what I don't want is a surprise. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather have you, when I say to you, okay, I'm going to run a background check, you know, I want it in 25 states, I need to know, and you need to say exactly what happened. Now, I think that you can say it again. Now, you can't make it very positive, but you can make it matter of fact. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. This is the outcome. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do community service?
Yeah, well, I'm just getting started on all of that, but yeah.
Okay. Do you know if you complete your community service, if it will, it should show up on that you have, you know, mitigated anything. So I would check how long this will stay on your record. Your lawyer may be able to
tell
you.
Well, I got probation for the crime, and that's for 2.5 years, so.
Okay. All right.
But I think once you're convicted of a felony, that's on your record forever.
It is, but, you know, you didn't steal money. You didn't embezzle. You weren't a murderer. I mean, you know,
right.
Shit happened, as they say, and it was terrible. And I'm sure it's, not easy to talk about. You will have some employers who will be understanding and some who won't,
mm-hmm.
period. And, you know, all you can do is have the, you know, the concise conversation and ask point blank, you know, will this keep me away? And although I don't know if everybody will answer that because
I guess I'm not that afraid of having the conversation face to face, but in an electronic application,
yeah.
I'm wondering about getting screened. Should I say, I guess maybe convicted felony or felony arising out of a freak traffic accident or something.
You know what? I'd honestly want you to get a lawyer's opinion on what to say. I don't feel comfortable because I don't want to give you the wrong information on that. If I'm sitting with you face-to-face, have you had somebody check your background, run a background check, and see exactly the wording that comes up?
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that?
No. Uh-uh.
Do that.
Okay.
Have somebody check it and see the exact wording comes up so that you'll know what is appearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would ask your lawyer. Maybe your lawyer could give you a letter that says this is what happened, this is how you are, you know, doing your community service. I think you may need something, you know, legally that you can show somebody. I think that would be helpful to you.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Well, we're coming up. I think we've got time for one more question, if anyone has one more question, and then we'll wrap it up.
This is Michelle. Can you hear me? I have one more question.
Yep.
Okay. My question is about handbills. They're new to me, and I created one. What are your thoughts of using that during networking events or sending them out? I'm pretty new to using them, so just not sure what the best practices are.
Handbills. When to use them? Is that what I'm asking?
Yep.
Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
Okay, so let me, for those of you that don't know what a handbill is, what Michelle is talking about is just a one-page kind of executive summary that also has a little bit of what you've done and where you want to go and what target companies are looking for. So most often those handbills, I've seen them being used in groups like the executive networking group where you're networking with other job seekers and you're looking for ways to give, you know, you give out your handbill because then they can look at your handbill and say, oh, I know someone at, you know, IBM or I know someone at Google and you're trying to target those companies, then they can, you know, help you out and make that introduction. You can also use it in the same way at networking events. If you're, you know, at an association event, I wouldn't go and pass them all around. I would, you know, have a conversation with someone and you tell them you're in job search and they want to help you and say, oh, well, let me give you my handle. And that gives you some ideas of what I'm looking for and how you can help me. Because, you know, you want to be able to explain, you know, how they can help you because otherwise people, you know, if it takes too much time for them to figure out how to help you, they're not going to do it, even though they want to help. You know, people are always strapped for time. So the more succinct you can be in how you need help and if that handbill, you know, is a way to say, here's how I can need help, you can pass it out to them that way. And Sari or Megan, do you have any additional comments?
Megan, do you? I really don't.
I really don't. No, that summed it up nicely. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So with that, I wanted to give you guys a quick reminder about the 30-minute consultation. Again, send an email to info@brandyourcareer.com and just send your name in the email, and I'll send you an application. And then I'm going to turn it over to Sari for kind of a wrap-up of, you know, everyone's biggest takeaway, and Megan will do a summary after that. Thanks.
Okay, so it's Sari here. And I think you all know that we do this every fourth Friday. And so it's always important to us to get a sense of what you think your biggest takeaway was here. You know, what did you learn? Is there something that was important to you? Because, you know, that's very helpful us going on to the, you know, to the next month. So if somebody would want to jump in, I'd love to hear that.
And star 6 unmutes, because I know a lot of you are still muted.
Any takeaways? Did you learn anything?
Hi, this is Allison. I think the biggest takeaway for me was the reverse engineering idea, not just on the starting from companies and positions, but also thinking about putting my own resume through the Wordle tool and the job description, just everything that we have at our disposal, that is just really helpful. I hadn't thought about it in that way. I guess I was trying to manually guess, and I think that's really fantastic. That's my takeaway.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I was really happy to hear the salary negotiation discussion, just because it's a scary thing, and when you explained some of your ideas, it's kind of brought it down to earth. So,
great. Great. Anybody else? Okay, then I think I shall turn it over to Megan.
Okay, I just want to recap some of the questions, and all great questions. You know, we really focused in on interviewing and resumes. You know, some great questions on how you explain to the hiring manager if you've been out of a job for a bit, right? And you know, I think again, remember, it's about being confident, positive, and, you know, show that you've been really researching, volunteering, or increasing your professional development. I think also, how do you take control of these interviews? Really say what's next step, and really be persevere and try and follow up and see the status of where you stand. Hard to know why you may always be the bridesmaid, but again, I would say just keep trying to find out feedback, or just working on yourself, making sure you show up positively and showing the value you bring with energy, confidence, and enthusiasm. And as we talked about salary, be honest, but talk about be flexible, and always add it when asked on an online application, or else your application will get will not even be considered. Networking, great question about networking. Networking is really key, and it's so important to, you know, target the companies, target the people, but most importantly, be able to articulate who you are and what you're looking for so they can help you. You know, I think it is also great, Anne asked, you know, how do you get to the hiring manager? Well, you really, you know, Michelle gives some great ideas of going online, using LinkedIn, searching for the person in the company, or even just picking up the phone and asking. You know, we forget that we can pick up the phone and ask. And, you know, these online applications, the key words, right? Michelle gives some great words, great tips on how to do that. And finally, you know, what happens with this very vulnerable pieces of information about how do you handle convicted felons. And I think, you know, that's really important because we all have
you know, we can all have these kind of situations that are really kind of, you know, they happen fluky, and so you want to be able to address that. And so I think these are all great questions, and we find that this call is so helpful for those to find out about the interview, the resume, LinkedIn, because there's a lot involved, a lot of aspects of the job search, and we want to be here to help you. And so we do hope that you would take us up on the discovery session, and also mark on your calendars Friday, September 25th from noon to 1 will be our next Q&A call, and we hope to hear you, and please feel free to invite anyone you think that might benefit as well. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Again, next month, September 25th, I'll send out an email after this to link you to the recording in case you want to listen back and get any details that you might have missed. So thank you, everyone, and we'll catch you next month. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.